Hey everyone, my name's Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circa Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circa Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus. Our mission field is our generation. And we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
Tonight, we want to talk about how do you minister to others prophetically. Ooh, that's kind of a prophetic is such a dramatic word. Can I hear like a ooh? Prophetic, it immediately makes us all seem so cool. I'm prophetic. You put the word prophetic on anything, it makes it immediately 10 times more exciting. Want to come to my discipleship group? I don't know. Want to come to my prophetic discipleship group? Yes. No, so we're going to explain what this is a little bit, but tonight what we're going to do is I'm going to teach a little bit, but we're actually going to activate, and we're going to practice a little bit together because we all pray for each other anyway all the time on Monday nights, and so I thought, you know what, I better actually give some instructions how we pray for each other so we all have a grid of how to do this. How many of you have ever been somewhere and someone just walks up to you and gives you a prophetic word or says they've heard something from God and they share it to you? How many of you have had this experience before? How many of you have had a very weird experience with that before? How many of you contributed to the weirdness of that moment before? Okay, so we're all in it together. Perfect. So we want to look at something really quick. I want to read a story. It's a story that was highlighted to me as I was driving tonight, and I know it sounds a little bit maybe off course from the prophetic, but I want you to see something here for a moment. It's in Luke 9. Verse 37, it's Jesus delivers a demon-possessed boy. That's the title right here. The next day, this is Luke speaking. The next day, after they had come down the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. A man in the crowd called out to him, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, my only child. An evil spirit keeps seizing him, making him scream. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It batters him and hardly ever leaves him alone. I beg your disciples to cast the spirit out, but they couldn't do it." And Jesus said, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you and put up with you?" Then he said to the man, "Bring your son here." And as the boy came forward, the demon knocked him to the ground and threw him into a violent convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and healed the boy. Then he gave him back to his father, awe gripped the people as they saw the majestic display of God's power. Okay, why do I want to bring this up for a moment? It's because this, Jesus' ministry matters in people's life. The pattern of Jesus' ministry is not just praying for others, it's helping lead people into transformation. And we have a generation before us who has real needs. Everyone say real needs. Right? This father had a real need. I have been around seizures before. I don't know if you've ever been around someone who's had a seizure. I've been around someone in my family who's had a seizure. I've been around people not outside of my family who've had a seizure. And a seizure is a scary thing. A seizure is a frightening thing to watch. And I cannot imagine anything worse than a father watching your own kid have a seizure, and there's nothing you can do to help resolve it. Now, I know this story is about Jesus healing this boy, commanding a demon to leave him, and then him receiving his healing, but I also think that what Jesus is demonstrating here is that he has authority over issues in people's life that torment them. That he has authority to resolve long-standing issues that are outside of our control and that we don't know how to find a solve to. When we talk about ministering to the lost, when we talk about ministering to believers, they are looking for an answer. So many people I meet with after a Monday night at a greenhouse set, when I travel and minister, they're not coming for me just to pray for them. What they're really asking is saying, "I need a change in my life. Please, I need a change in my life." And they're wondering if I can lead them into transformation. They're wondering if I'm able to guide them in a transaction with God that would change their life. And we want to be a people of God We want to be followers of Jesus who are not passive in our Christianity, but active in our Christianity and able to lead people into real transformation. Here's what I would say. I would say, though, majority of how Christians interact with others is passive. It is passive. Right? How many of you have ever listened to one of those radio shows and they call in for prayer? Help me. Horrible thing is happening. And they always say, why don't you pray, and I'll just agree. I don't know why they do that. Must be, I don't know, some kind of rate. I'm like, they're calling you to pray on the radio. I don't know. I'll have to ask one of those hosts one day, right? Or so many moments that, hey, can you pray for me? This is going on in my life. And instead of us going, well, let's get into it. Let's pray through that. Let's talk about that. Let's bring this to God. It's, I'll just pray for you. So you come forward. Hey, I'm really struggling with addiction. Okay, let's pray. God, I pray you'd help them with addiction. But if you are with Jesus, he goes, what is going on with that addiction? What are we going to do about that addiction right now? What steps are you willing to take? What's at the root of that addiction? Let's resolve that right now. I don't know of any Bible story where someone comes to Jesus seeking transformation. He goes, let me just shout a little prayer for you, and they leave discouraged. No, everybody who comes to Jesus hungry for change finds change and leaves different. And so why we want to talk about becoming a ministry team tonight is all of us need the skill sets of two things. How do you encourage somebody? Like deeply encourage someone, hear God for them and encourage them. And number two is how do you walk someone into freedom? And I hope I can get through both, because if we'll have to do a part two if I can't get through all of it. And here's the last thing I want to say is here's some reasons why fighting for transformation is so much better than just simply, you know, just praying for someone. Number one is that we want to engage people because their ownership in the moment is important for their own change. And there's this spectrum in Christianity of two kind of groups. One group seeks encounter to change, okay? And one group seeks more knowledge to change. So more understanding, more theology. Over here sometimes it's more encounter. I want to experience God. But there, the real transformation come when both meet. When the Holy Spirit grace is present and God begins to move on your heart. But number two, you're willing to engage your mind to actually change. Like, for example, I have met depressed people before. Have you ever met someone depressed? It's not everyone that's depressed, but this is some people who are depressed. And I can tell that they have had an identity of having depression, anxiety, and that's how they get attention from everybody. And so they don't even know what it's like to be the person that's not depressed and doesn't have anxiety. Do you ever wonder why Jesus asked so many times, what do you want? Do you want to be healed? Isn't that kind of weird? Why is he asking that guy, does he want to be healed? It's because so much of the time we can take identity in our own dysfunction. And we're waiting for someone to come and lay a hand on us, fall over, the Holy Spirit to touch us in some powerful way, and to have no responsibility to actually change how we think, adjust how we live, or take any other kind of action. Now, I want to say that that process is very difficult, separated from God, but people do go to mindset conferences and change their mind. But imagine when the Holy Spirit power is there, and someone is willing to actually change their mind about something, quick transformation takes place. I have been with people for years who were depressed. For years. Years of anxiety. And in one moment of prayer, they own it and go, this has become part of my identity. I've had complete fear of stepping out. I've been hiding from what God's been telling me. I've been running from my calling. I want to surrender to Jesus. I want to start serving. I want to face my fears. I'm done being the depressed guy. All of a sudden, they decide to be different, and the power of God hits them, and they're different. Some of the most joyful people I know today, at one point, they're some of the most depressed people I ever met. Transformation. Everyone say transformation. Number two. Well, I covered that one. We'll keep going. Number three is even when you're encouraging someone, even when you're encouraging someone, you don't want, sometimes it's like drive-by encouragement in Christianity. Hey, bro, let me pray for you really quick. And then they put their hand on me, and they just unleash a prophetic word on me. Now, sometimes I get really bogus prophetic words that people give to me. But I just let them do it because I know they're trying their best and they love me. Right? So I'm just like, they're just learning. This is awesome. Thank you so much. I don't know, you know, that I'm supposed to move to Mongolia next week, but I so appreciate your boldness. But most of the times, it never stops with a question. It never, they just kind of move on all of a sudden. So even in encouragement, you want to have a moment of connection with people so the encouragement can really take root. How many of you have ever encouraged someone and you walked away? And then other times you encouraged someone and you had the boldness to ask, do you believe what I'm saying about you? Have you ever done that? I remember, so Emily, my wife, man, a wife is such a blessing because they live with you and you cannot hide things from them. And so before in church, you'd be like, thank you so much for that encouragement, and then blow past it and not ingest it. Where my wife sometimes will pull me aside and go, you're doing a great job leading. I'm like, thank you, thank you. And she knows what that means. She goes, do you believe that? And gives me the eyes. And in that moment, I go, okay, yes, I'm going to take that in right now. I do believe I'm doing a good job leading. See, what we want to become on Monday nights is we want to operate in discernment. We want to operate in activation. We want to operate in initiation so that we can strive after transformation in people's lives versus just being there and showing empathy, compassion, and throwing a prayer their way. Who's excited about that tonight? So we're going to explain and we're going to jump into a number one of these things. Now, this is a little bit awkward, right? Because no one likes to do this sometimes because it requires more boldness. Sometimes there's an innate tension in asking a provoking question. Like, you got to be that guy or that girl. How many of you like being that guy or that girl? Right? You're at an accountability time. You can tell everyone's lying about their life. And you go, no, really, guys, who's going to be vulnerable today and talk about what's really happening in our lives? Right? But no one wants to be that person. I hate being that person. But sometimes we need to be that person. Right? And then there's just the risk factor. It's not a risk to the Holy Spirit, but it feels like risk to us. Risk of rejection, risk of awkwardness, risk of awkward tension, risk of being rejected, risk of being made fun of. How many of you have had a really strong prophetic word for someone, you knew you should give it to them, but you didn't want to go give it because you thought it was too crazy? Now, sometimes that's a good thing, but sometimes the Lord wants you to share what's going on in your heart. So here we go. Is everybody down to take the plunge? Yes. Let's get some thumbs up. Who's ready to take the plunge? Embrace the awkwardness. Let me see over here. Okay, I love that. I got a thumb up like this. I love that. I spy thumb, like, you got to find it. All right, here we go. Okay, first, we're going to break this into a couple of sections. First, we're going to do a little crash course on the prophetic. Can we do that? Some key verses. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Okay, I love that Paul right here is connecting. Pursue love. That's the win right there. How many of you know that you're a clanging bell if you're Mr. Prophetic, but you're a jerk? How many of you ever met a prophetic jerk? How many of you have been a prophetic jerk? I have. It's horrible. Clanging bell. Right? We all want to. The reason, the motive behind everything we're doing is love. It's for people's transformation. Not to be cool. Not to be respected. Not people say we're gifted. Not to make a new Facebook post about the epic prophetic word. Right? None of that. It's not to charge money for. It's all that stuff can get so goofy, right? It's about loving other people. Okay, number two, John 10:4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, talking about God, because they know his voice. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Acts 2:17-18. In the last days, God says, I love that we sang about the end times tonight. Did you know that you were singing about the end times tonight? We went there, and we didn't really acknowledge it, but we did go there. Split the sky, Jesus is coming back. We do believe that. We should talk about it more. Acts 2, 17 through 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. They will prophesy. Okay, so, but have you ever been around people where one person is hearing like downloads from God, and when you go to pray, you get something once in a while? You're kind of like the antenna that you always have to adjust. And once in a while, you get in a channel that you shouldn't get, and you get it for like a couple hours. You're like, wow, Sports Center, right? And your other buddy is like cable TV, like hundreds of channels, the dreams and visions and words. They're just a prophecy machine. How many of you know a prophecy machine? They always have a word, always have a download. So discouraging to be around them. They come from their... They come from their quiet times, right? It's just like this morning, God was downloading this and downloading me this, and you were in your quiet time, and it was like crickets, right? And once a month, you get a download like they seem to be getting every single day. How many of you have been around that before? Okay, here is how the New Testament, the scriptures would explain that. Number one, some people are given a gift of prophecy. It's an actual spiritual gift. And it's given in even different measures to different people for God's purposes. And the Bible says that we should earnestly desire that gift. So it's not bad if you're not hearing like that right now to be praying and crying out in your life, Lord, give me a spiritual gift of prophecy so I can hear from you more clearly. Now, number two, everyone say grace. God gives a general grace to all believers to hear his voice. So all of us can hear God, but some people are given an extra measure of a gift of prophecy. And what is that gift? It can be the Lord says things to them, but that gift is given to serve the body. Spiritual gifts are never given for you. They're given for others. Are you tracking with me? So if you have a gift of leadership on your life, it's not so that you can be Mr. Leader. It's so that you can lead people to Jesus. If you've been an evangelist, it's not so you can have a powerful ministry as an evangelist. It's so that you lead people to Jesus. Are you tracking with me? So some of us are hearing God because of his grace, and some of us have been given a spiritual gift of prophecy. Let's continue. There's some working definitions of prophecy. Prophecy is like something that you can talk about, but it's something that's experienced. So I got like four or five different definitions because I want to try to help give you language for what I think most of us have experienced, but it's hard to explain. Like, how many of you ever had that moment? Like, this morning I was reading my Bible and God spoke to me. What do you mean he spoke to you? Well, in my head, I saw a picture. So you were imagining things? No, it was like it beamed into my mind, and I wasn't thinking about it, and then I kind of heard a voice tell me that he loves me so much, and you just start to sound insane. How many of you have ever had this experience where you've had this powerful moment with God, went to translate to someone else, and they go, I don't know what church you're going to. I'm scared. Okay, so here's some definitions to help us. John Wimber. Prophecy is declaring the message of God to his church for the purpose of edification. It is not a skill, aptitude, or talent. It is the actual speaking forth of words given by the Spirit in a particular situation and ceases when the words given by the Spirit cease. Yes. This may even be in poetic form or even a song. Derek Prince says, the gift of prophecy is the supernaturally imparted ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and speaks God's mind or counsel. Prophecy ministers not only to the assembled group of believers, but also to individuals. Okay, David Pitches. The gift of prophecy is the special ability that God gives to members of the body of Christ to receive and to communicate an immediate message of God to his gathered people, a group among them, or any one of his people individually through a divinely anointed utterance. I have been around where that is the best way to describe what's happening. But here's the next one, Sam Storms. Thank God for Sam Storms. He came and taught in our fall DTS. I love how he puts it. He puts it in such human terms, and this is predominantly my experience. Not that my experience is the end-all, be-all. I'm just throwing that a little bit there to help you understand. I will define prophecy more specifically as the speaking forth in merely human words, something the Holy Spirit has sovereignly and often spontaneously revealed to a believer. Prophecy, therefore, is not based on a hunch, a supposition, an inference, an educated guess, or even sanctified wisdom. Prophecy is not based on personal insight, intuition, your gut, illumination. Prophecy is the human report of a divine revelation. That is what distinguishes prophecy from preaching and teaching. Teaching is always based on a text of Scripture. Prophecy is always based on a spontaneous revelation. He goes on to talk about how Wayne Grudem, another theologian, talks about it. A simple definition would be that prophecy is the human report of a divine revelation. Prophecy is speaking forth in merely human words something God has spontaneously brought to mind. Okay, that was a lot of descriptions. What am I trying to say here? Is that there is a divine aspect and there is a human aspect to prophecy. And we're going to get into that in a more moment. I'm going to explain what that is. That's why people get goofy prophetic words sometimes. Usually it's not because God is messing up. It's because we are messing up. How many of you have heard a prophetic word and it didn't come true? How many saw a really popular prophetic word all over the news and it didn't come true? Right? And you're like, awkward. Did God not speak? No. Humans made an error. Okay, let's look at some ways that God speaks through Scripture. Number one, an impression, a gentle feeling in yourself, like in your inner being, in your inner man, in your inner, whatever you want to call, whatever your spirit man is, your soul, right? Your inner sense. How many of you have ever just felt suddenly, out of nowhere, you didn't know why, it felt like God to give someone a call suddenly, to reach out to someone, to send a text? I'll give you an example. One night I was in my house, and God gave me an impression about a DTS student a number of years ago that I need to go over to their house and check on them, that something was wrong. Such a weird impression. Well, I went over to their house, and I was looking for this person, and I started to kind of feel off, and so I just shouted in the house, like, hey, are you here? And the person says something from the bathroom, and they had locked themselves in there, and they went into a spiral of almost moving into an old habit of self-harm. And so we were able to help get them out of the bathroom and help minister them and get them the correct care and all those different things. But isn't it crazy? All of that started with a simple impression in my heart. That wasn't how I normally think. I mean, who thinks that at 7 o'clock at night, chilling in your house, doing whatever you're doing, watching a show, and you go like, I know what I want to do. Get up and go to a random person's house, invite myself in to see if everyone's doing good there. An impression. Number two, visions. Seeing a snapshot. Acts 20:22 is a great example of an impression. Visions. Seeing a snapshot or still image in the eyes of your heart, or seeing several images together like a movie. Some people describe when they close their eyes and they pray, it's like they see a little movie. They see a little picture for someone. That's a way that God speaks. The biblical language is a vision, Daniel 7:2. A trance is a vision in which you are playing an active role in interfacing the vision. This is a little more rare, but I do meet people this has happened to. Acts 10:9-10, this has happened to me one time. I had a powerful, in a prayer meeting with two other guys praying for high schoolers when I was in high school. I had a vision, but it felt like I was in the vision. I forgot I was in a prayer meeting. I had a powerful experience with God's love. They happen. They're real. Dreams. Similar to visions or trances, but while you are sleeping, Matthew 1:20, how many have had a dream that you felt was from God? How many have had a dream that was not from God? All of us, probably, right? And dreams can get real weird and real strange, and we live in California, the land of superstition and weirdness and numerology and all these weird things. Everyone go, no way. Right? Jesus, when he speaks through dreams, speaks really simply. How many of you have had a dream that was like 2 hours long? Felt like forever. I went to the store, and then I bought a Slurpee, and I walked out, and I saw my grandma. She gave me a hug, and then I got in a bike, and I drove off a ramp, and then I bought a Tesla, and then I called my friend, and we went to Disneyland. What does it mean? Well, unless someone here has a super advanced gift of dream interpretation, chances are it means nothing. Doesn't mean anything. Your grandma, Slurpees, Tesla, Disneyland, I don't know what's happening. This is my policy for dreams. I'm a caveman. God knows it. Right? I'm not a spiritual expert. I'm just a normal 31-year-old man trying to obey God the best I can. God speaks in ways that we understand. God speaks in ways that we understand. Right? How many of you have ever had a bad dream? You could have a warning dream. You could have a dream about something, but I don't want everyone here to become weird dream people. Like every night, you're like writing every dream you have down a journal going, what does it mean? No, there's a distinct witness in your spirit when you have a dream from God. And a great way is to share it with mature believers and see if it resonates with them. Wow. Number five, we're going to give you some other safeguards in a moment. Angelic revelation. God communicating through an angel, whether while you are asleep or awake. One of the founders of Circuit Riders had a visitation where they saw an angel. What? Yes! These things happen. In fact, if I did a blind pull in here of how many people have seen an angel or seen a demon, it would actually be a quite number, a lot of hands. When I asked rooms, how many have ever seen an angel or a demon? So many people raise their hand. Usually it's 80% of the college rooms that I preach in. It's so crazy that people around the supernatural. But here's the thing. We don't learn from angels. We don't talk to angels. We don't invent new doctrine for angels. If you see an angel, a lot of times, why do they show up in Scripture? Because your life is going to be so hard. And to obey the word is so hard that you need a dramatic sign from God like that to help you obey what he's going to ask you to do. So it's not something like you just want to bust out. Like, I saw an angel last night and it told me to be a missionary to India. Clue, awesome, going to be powerful, might be hard. Might be hard, okay. Can we keep going? Audible voices. Sometimes God communicates by allowing us to audibly hear his voice. Acts 9:4. Okay. There's a powerful movie called Father of Lights. It's a documentary. I mean, you've seen this. And this guy says that he gets woken up every morning and he hears the audible voice of God wake him up and give him instructions for his day. So they follow this guy for 3 days. And he has this moment where he walks to an Indian temple and one of the gurus there sees him and walks up to him. And because God told him to go to this temple like 3 hours away, so he goes over there. And all of a sudden, this guru walks up to him and says, you were in my dream last night. And God spoke to me in my dream last night and showed me your face and said, you will be the one to point me to the true God. And in that moment, he says, it's Jesus. He renounces all of his other Indian gods, all his other Hindu gods, and says, Jesus is the only way, starts following Jesus, and converts all of his following to follow Jesus. Right? That was like day one of his instructions. Day two of his instructions, he goes to this witch doctor's house in the bushes that's known for all kinds of evil practices of dark and black magic. And he goes over there very calmly and says, Jesus brought me to your house. Do you want to get saved? And they said no, and they were actually in the back afraid because they said they were seeing a bright light and were hiding from it. He just prays over the house and says, from this day forward, there is no more power, no more torment. Jesus, we rebuke the enemy. We rebuke all the demonic here. And they come back later in the documentary. The witch doctor fled. No one knows where he is because he lost all of his power and was embarrassed. Day three, it just goes on. It goes on. You're just like, this guy has the most incredible relationship with God. It's amazing. God does speak in extraordinary ways. There's another type of experience that people describe sometimes as having an inaudible encounter, where it's like this super loud, resounding voice in them that's not their own from nowhere. This has happened to me one time, maybe twice, and definitely you know it's not you. And it was about God's love for me, and they were defining moments of when I was maturing as a believer and finding my own faith on my own rootedness, not on my parents. It was a powerful experience. And finally, God speaks through other people. And this may be as a friend's timely encouragement or a pastor's sermon another time. Maybe someone that says, hey, I actually have something I want to submit to you that I feel like I heard from God for you. I want to share. Now, here's the story. All of these ways are amazing to hear, but none of them are above the ultimate revelation of God, the scriptures. Everyone say, I love the Bible. I love the Bible. See, a lot of times people want to run after encounter, but they don't want to run after the book. And this is the encounter. And the only way to know if any of this is real is if it matches up to this book. I have met people who have been deceived by weird prophetic stuff. I have met people who became super strange, and I didn't even know what to do anymore because they watched so many crazy YouTube videos that have nothing to do with the Bible, but someone's quote-unquote revelation from God, they got totally deceived. Prophecy is an amazing spiritual gift if it is under the authority of the Word. Meaning you can never share something with God, something that you heard from God that doesn't measure up to Scripture. Are you tracking with me? And if you do, you better repent really quick because you're claiming to share something that God told you for someone else. Think about that. If you came up to me and said, hey, and you're just willy-nilly sharing things that you feel like you're hearing from God, praying these super long prayers that you're not being true to what God really said, you could be messing with people's lives, misrepresenting God, and find you in a place where God disciplines you or worse, judges you. That's why there's the fear of the Lord. I only want to say exactly what God said. I don't want to add to it to be cool. I don't want to do anything for attention. I want to be humble before the Lord. Can we keep going for a moment? I want to give some safeguards for hearing from God. Number one, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Okay, interesting here. That Paul is saying, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Interesting that Paul would have to mention that if people's natural inclination was actually to put out the Spirit's fire. So a lot of places people do want to put out the Spirit's fire. Why? Because it's crazy, it's weird, it's out of control. I'm all for order and all those different things, but how many know that sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in ways that are disconcerting? Right? Commanding a demon out of a boy who's convulsing on the ground, is that peaceable? Yes, in a way. But would that also be like something that you would never forget? Yes. How many have ever seen someone weeping at the altar uncontrollably, repenting from their life and all the negative things they've done? Is that like a peaceful sight that you just want to fall asleep like white noise to at night? No. Maybe Zach Nash, he's so holy. But, right. But all of us, it is kind of intense. It's sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in intense ways. Number two, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Why would he say don't treat prophecies with contempt? And why would he say test everything? And why would he say hold on to goodness? Because sometimes people get it wrong. Okay, how does it get it wrong? This is a great framework that I feel like is so true from Sam Storms. It's still right from him. Number one, is there's what you heard from God. That's revelation. But then it's your interpretation is what does it mean? And then your application, what does God want me to do? I think sometimes people just didn't hear from God. They made it up. Or they thought they heard from God, but they're really just speaking out of their what they think or their opinion or all those different things. That happens all the time, and people give just their opinion, but they say it's God. That's true. Don't do that. That's bad. Number two, I think sometimes people do hear from God, but they give their own interpretation for what it means, and the interpretation is wrong. Are you tracking with me? I saw a smiley face for you, and it's because God is happy with you, and God wants you to start a ministry called Smiley Face. Okay, that's not, right? It was so good, but yet so wrong. And the so good part was that God is happy with you. That's an amazing, encouraging thing to share to someone, maybe in a timely moment. But then to take it all the way that you're supposed to have a t-shirt company called Smiley because of this moment, everyone go boo. It's no good. God didn't say that. All he showed you was a smiley face. It's about disciplining to share only what we actually sense or heard. And finally, application. Application can jack people's lives up. As a general rule of thumb, I never give life direction through the prophetic. So somebody comes up to me and says, what should I do with my life? Can you hear from God for me? The answer is no. No, dude. I'm not Elijah. Right? All the pressure of your life right now on what I heard? No, right? That's not how the prophetic works. We want to stay away from timing, spouses. Lord have mercy. Can I share a horrible story to you that will scar your mind? My dad, in college, they had a resident director of their building. And, it was a guy he met in college, great guy. But then he went back and did ministry at that college about a decade and a half later. And the guy he had met in college who was married, was now the single resident director of one of the buildings. And he was at a Christian music festival, and a girl walked up to him and said, the Lord told me I'm your wife. So he was a new believer and just believed her. He was never attracted to her. Never had any feelings for her, and just did it out of pure guilt, thinking that this was God's will for his life. Is this a scary story or what? And so he meets him later, and he's telling this sad story of how he's married with kids, and he has zero feelings for his wife. And he comes to the college of minister to try to get away from his house. Okay, number one, there's some problematic marriage issues. There's hope for him in Jesus Christ to have a great marriage, number one. No excuse for that. Number two, that's just not how you pick your spouse. So if that Monday night you walk up to someone and said, I'm your husband. No, almost guaranteed no. Can I tell you how many of those have worked out that I know of? Zero. Everyone say zero. Okay, Acts 17:11. Now these were noble-minded. These were more noble-minded than those at Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. You are to test the words that you receive from others to see if it agrees with scripture and if it witnesses to the Holy Spirit in you. So you aren't just, if I come up to you just because I'm a minister, even when I'm teaching tonight, you shouldn't just be going like, well, I just believe it because he said it, right? A mature believer, what I'm doing is I'm starting a conversation, inviting you into this book to find these things true for yourself. And if I give you a prophetic word, you shouldn't just be like, whoa, thus saith the Lord. No, I'm a fallible person. I make mistakes. My housemates will tell you. I've given an awkward prophetic word in my life, so much pressure to be perfect every single time. That's why I just humbly submit things to you, and it's up to you to go, is this Jesus? Is this scripture? And does this witness to my spirit? Last one here. On this note, never make a new doctrine because God told you. That's just a bonus round for you so we don't start the Mormon church or other things. Whoa, he's intense. No, I'm not. I'm just helping you live a great life. Love the people. Completely disagree with everything going on there. All right. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But here's the purpose of prophecy. Ready for this? Here's the purpose. Everyone say purpose. Purpose. I want you to hear this. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Everyone say strengthening. Strengthening. Encouragement. Encouragement. And comfort. Okay, so should we use, if God gives you something for someone here, should you go up to them and just give them the craziest rebuke? No. Hey, man, I just feel like God wants me to come up to you and just tell you that you're a prideful bum. Is that a win? Is that a great usage of hearing God's voice? Yes or no? No. Is God giving you an encouragement for someone? A win.
Yes.
Strengthening someone? A win.
Yes.
Building someone up? A win.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay, so here's some weird, we're going down the weird stuff list of things I don't want you to do. Dudes or girls who use prophecy as a way to meet people, do not do that on Monday night. It ruins and cheapens the gift. Men, they don't need to know their princesses. They don't need you coming and giving an Esther word, right? Why don't you practice that gift with some men? That's a great place to start. Ladies, they don't need to know that they are Gideon or Paul from the apostle, right? You stick with the sisters. So for this season, we're enacting a rule. Guys are going to pray for guys and girls are going to pray for girls. Because everyone's learning. Number two, bad breath. There are so many words I wish I would have remembered, but the breath was so bad, that's all I remembered. Gum, mints, Altoids, whatever it is. I just eat as much Italian garlic bread right before I pray for people. Okay, number three, don't shout in people's ears. Right? Isn't it like just ministering to people like so practical too? It's not just so, everything's so spiritual. Not asking if you can pray for someone. So just like coming up and just going prophecy mode without just saying, hey, can I pray for you? So everyone say, be normal. Would you ever go to someone in Starbucks that you don't know? Just put your hand on your shoulder and just say, thus saith the Lord. Don't ever say that, period. But you always go like, hey, man, God is just wanting to meet you right now. No, that's weird. Everyone say weird.
Weird.
Don't give life direction. The classic phrase is no name, dates, or babies. Stay away from those. We already talked about spouses. All right. Don't put your own problems on other people. Right? I just feel like, bro, you're in a season where no one understands you and you feel left out. Did you hear that from God or do you feel alone and left out? And that's your prophetic word for everybody. Right? People discover these trigger sentences that get them a reaction. I'm just being honest for a moment. Hey, man, I know no one ever really gets you. And you're like, it's true. No one can define me. I'm like, you have four siblings. Trust me, they understand you so well. That's why you're mad at them, right? So the point being is we can bring our flesh into the prophetic, and that's no good. Okay, last one, being strange and acting like Gandalf. That's what I wrote down. What do I mean by this? Is trying to be dramatic for dramatic sake. Trying to be weird for weird sake. There are some people who just want to be weird, and I don't know why. And sometimes things are weird, you can't help it, but some people want to be weird. I'm leaving an awkward pause on this one. Because if you're in here, please, I'm asking you, or Ian will have to ask you, right, privately. This is not a place to be weird. I remember one time a guy just came to me. This is a true story. I'm just sitting. I literally am just sitting, getting ready to preach. And all of a sudden, I feel two arms grab my shoulders from behind. And I just hear someone going, oh. I'm like, literally, I'm like, where am I? Then all of a sudden, another guy emerges in front of me, looks at me, staring at me, and just is like, starts staring into my soul. I got a word for you. And I'm like, hi, I'm Nick. right? It's just being dramatic. For dramatic. I was walking out of In-N-Out, and all of a sudden, this gal goes, "You." I'm just getting a burger. I'm just getting a burger. So I'm with Emily, and I had to pass her to go to the door. So it's so awkward. She's like, you know, 5 feet from me. I'm like, "Yes. What's your name?" And I'm like, "Why are you talking in that voice in In-N-Out? Why do we move into a dramatic movie? What's your name?" This is true. I said, "My name's Nick." She's like, "So basic." And I was like, "What?" And then goes, "I have a word for you." And just says, "I want to honor you as a leader in the whole body of Christ." And I'm like, I know like 500 people in California. I wouldn't say I'm a leader in the body of Christ. Right? It just got so weird, so puffing up, so strange, so about me. It felt off. She turned to a gal with me and says, "You're a dancer." She's like, "I'm not a dancer." She's like, "Have you ever danced in your kitchen before?" She's like, "I guess." That's it. That's what God was saying. No, it just was weird and wrong. Weird and wrong, everybody. I'm giving you some funny stories because, right, I'm not angry at prophecy now. I'm not like, "This is all fake." I'm not so sensitive that I can't just throw that out because I've also received prophecy that there's no way that person could have known that about me and read my entire mail. I was in a room once with a minister and said, "Is this July 25th, 1991? Whose birthday is this?" And I raised my hand and he laser beamed me and barely, I think I'd met him briefly before he spoke, but knew nothing about me and read my mail. Like, it was like he followed me for 10 years. And talked about everything going on in the inside of my heart that I don't talk to anyone about. There's also moments where it's incredibly real. And so that's what we're pursuing here, is because when you get into that moment where it's real, it's so powerful. So here's what we want to do. Here's what we want to do. Last but not least, is don't be a strange person who just, it's all about giving, telling them how important they're going to be in God's kingdom. God wants to say other things. You might just want to encourage them. So not every picture needs to be, "I see you," speaking to millions of people. Either there are thousands of people that are going to speak to millions of people that I've, maybe because of TikTok, I'm not sure. Maybe that's what those words all meant. Or it's going to be like literally billions of people are going to be in stadiums over the next 2 years. Or some people are giving that word to every single person. And so that's where I'm just trying to give a little bit of fear of the Lord in with, we're going to give a lot of mercy for all of us to practice. Okay, are you ready to activate?
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.